Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians, chapter number 6. I think that Brother Tom Montgomery is a great missionary. He really is. He is certainly dedicated to his job. He really is. I remember another preacher that talked to me one time. He's the pastor of a church in Memphis, Tennessee. He talked to me about, and he at one point was considering asking his church if they would not support him anymore. But the more he considered that, the more he thought, I can't do that. I just can't do that. And so, after a while, I think that Brother Tom went to their church. I think. I'm not sure about that, but I think I'm right. But Brother Tom went to their church, and he was very impressed, as I have been. I think he's been here once. Right? I think one time. But he is a very dedicated man. He wants to do what God wants him to do. And so I ask you, you pray that God will keep him safe and keep his wife safe as they travel back to the United States. He's not going to be here, but I think 9 days is total what he's going to be here. And part of what he wants to come back for is so his dad can leave his mother and go and visit some folks that he needs to see. And so that's part of what all that is. But just remember to pray for him as they travel. That's starting on Monday. I know that he'll send an email just as soon as he's safe. I know, because he always does. I always write and tell him, we're praying for you. And he always sends an email real quick. So I would ask you just to remember him in your prayers. Tonight, let's look in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 and verse number 18. For the Bible says this, praying, Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints. Now, that's the text. Verse number 19 says, and for me, though Paul is desiring that the people pray as well for him, that utterance may be given to me. This is an amazing thing. Because you would never think that Paul would ever pray for utterance. You would never think that. But every preacher that I know of that's worth anything at all always asks for prayer for utterance. That's the way it is. That I may open my mouth boldly. That's what Paul says. Paul? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Paul said that. I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel tonight. That, Lord willing, we'd like to speak on the preservation of the saints. Now, I'm thankful that we're going to be preserved. I'm thankful for that. Because without that, there is really no hope at all. Actually, what I've read to you in verse 18 is the only verse in the Bible that has the word preservation in it. That's the only verse that's there. The only one. Say, well, that's odd. Surely it's in more places than that. No. That's where it's at. Right there. Say, well, don't you think that we're kept? Oh, yeah. Does the Bible say that? Oh, yeah. But it doesn't use that word anywhere else except right there. This simply means to endure to the end. This is what God is praying for. This is what the Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesians. That they would stay faithful to God all of their lives. That they would stay faithful to God always, seeking His will and doing what God wanted them to do. That's what he always prayed for. That means to endure unto the end. Theologically, this term, the preservation of the saints, is a teaching that salvation cannot be lost. If you are ever saved, you are saved from then on. Alright? Through it all. Somebody says, I don't know if that's really so or not. Well, that is absolutely the way it is. Paul prayed for that. Say, well, if it's so that we're really saved, then why did Paul pray for that? Well, because Paul always prayed according to the will of God. He always did. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. Now, notice in the book of Luke, chapter number 17. The Bible says here again, that doesn't use the same word, but it's a word that oftentimes, well, it's real close. In the book of Luke, chapter number 17, and verse 33. Luke 17, verse number 33. The Bible says, right after it says in verse 32, remember Lot's wife, Christ is here speaking. And he's telling people, you remember Lot's wife, all right? Then he says in verse number 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Now why? Remember, he's talking about, remember Lot's wife. And he also says that if you try, whosoever, as you try to keep your life, you're going to lose it. But then he goes on and says this, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, can you figure that out? Can you figure that out? It's real simple, real plain. But the person that wants to do their thing all of their life, they will lose their life. See, does that mean they're going to die? No, I don't mean that. It means that as far as eternity is concerned, they have no rewards at all. So what should I do? You should always do what God wants you to do. Piece of cake, right? Is he done? You know what? Maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but I think I will anyway. Did you know it's hard for me to discern what God's will is? It's hard. I'm talking about in various situations that I come up against. It's just difficult to know exactly what God wants me to do. Maybe you don't have that trouble. Maybe it's a piece of cake for you. But it's not for me. It's not for me. I can remember sometimes that when I really wanted to do what God wanted me to do, but I had my mind made up another way. Does that ever happen to you? And first thing you know, you're leaning that way. Until you almost fall over. God says no. He won't let us fall. Not to everlasting destruction. He won't let you fall. Because God always will hold you up. You know, He'll always do that. And look with me again. In another place. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse number 23. First Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 23. The Bible says here in this place, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Alright? And here's what Paul prayed for. Here's what Paul prayed for. He said, I pray God. This is what Paul absolutely prayed for. I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what Paul said. You see, Paul prayed. You say, well, why did Paul pray for that? Well, don't you pray? Don't you pray that you'll be preserved? I think you ought to. If you don't, you ought to. If it hadn't entered your mind to pray that you, as an individual person, be preserved blameless in your whole spirit and whole soul and whole body. That every bit of you. You ought to pray that prayer. It's not bad for you to pray it for yourself. It's not bad to pray for somebody else either. I got a notion that you already pray that. You may not word it like Paul. What you mean is the same thing. You have any children? You pray the Lord save them? Do you just pray the Lord save them and then they just turn loose? Why, no. You pray that they be used of God. That's right. So you see, we're praying that prayer. We need to be aware of that. That is the hope that we have. That's the only hope we have. That God preserve us. If He don't do it, it won't be done. Notice the difference in the two words here we're talking about. We've used the word preserve twice in two different scriptures. But that's not the word perseverance. Because perseverance is what God does to us. It's us enduring unto the end. That's from our viewpoint. But the other was from God's viewpoint. Alright? The book of Luke 17, verse 33, and the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is from God's viewpoint. Notice again. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 18. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 18. And you see it very clearly here. You see, there are some things that we have to do, but there are some things that God only can do. We must be faithful, right? But only God can put us in the place that we are faithful. He's the only one. The Bible said here, in verse number, I'm reading 2 Timothy 4, verse number 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. Now who's going to do that? Is Paul doing that? No. Paul is trusting God. You see, it's like a lot of times what was preached, what I hear anyway, is that people are saying, preachers are saying, trust Christ for your salvation, but don't trust Him for anything else. Well, that's bad. That's the half the truth. We must trust Christ to save us. But we must trust Christ for everything else. You know why? We don't have anything good about us. Nothing at all. When I'm lost, I'm totally lost. I'm going to go to hell when I die, see? But when I'm saved, then I'm totally saved. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because of what Christ has done for me. That's the whole thing about it all. It's what Christ has done. The Bible goes on and says here, and He will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to me glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we're going to praise the name of the Lord because of what He has done for us. He said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to praise God for everything I've done for Him. Well, it won't take very long. What are you going to do the rest of the time? You think about it. When we get to heaven, we're going to be praising the name of the Lord because He saved us, because He kept us saved, because He kept us out of trouble, because He kept us from doing that thing that we wanted to do in the flesh. See, we just praise the name of the Lord. And I'm thankful to know that that's so. Because in heaven, we got nothing except to glorify the Lord. That's what we're going to do throughout all eternity. Somebody said, no, so I think I'm going to spend some time fishing. I don't think so. There's not going to be any lakes up there. I'm going to spend a lot of time working on my old cars. There ain't going to be no old cars up there. I hate to tell you all that, but I'm telling the truth. It's going to be all brand new. It's brand new. And you know what the amazing thing about it is that as new as it is, it's never going to get old. It's never, ever, ever, ever going to get the least bit old. Not at all. So, well, after a while, you know, when I moved in my new house, it was all brand new to me, and I was real happy with that, and now it's an old house. Listen, in heaven, we'll get that new mansion, it's going to be brand new from then on. It's going to be so different than what it is down here. It's going to be so different. It won't ever wear out, won't ever play out. It's going to be good all time. Look one more place in the book of Jude, chapter 1. It's the only chapter there is, and verse 1. Jude 1 and verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. You see that word preserved there again. This word is talking about what God has done for us. We've read four scriptures, and each of these four, we've read Luke, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, and the book of Jude. And all four of these places talk about the things that God has done for us. That's why. That's why this word perseverance, to endure to the end, is found only once in the entire Bible. Because that's what we do. And you know, it ought to be mentioned, but it's only mentioned one time. Actually, the word preserve is used some 56 or 57 times in the entire Bible, 50 times in the Old Testament, and then the 7 times, I think it is, in the New Testament. Okay? That's it. That's what it's used. But the word here means to attend carefully. And I'm thankful that God will take care of us. That's what the Bible says. He will take care of us. Someone would say, well, as long as I'm able to come to church, listen, God is able to take care of you when you can't come to church. God is able to do that. Just don't ever doubt that. Because the reality of it is that we're trusting the Lord to help us worship Him. We're trusting God through it all. And only in that can we be any good at all. Only what God has done for us. Okay. Now, think about this, however. The motivation that we have in Christ to be true to God is very real, and yet there are some true believers that have not reflected that, that have not shown that in their lives. Okay? And we'll show the difference in the two. Okay? Now, Peter, the Apostle Peter, when he denied the Lord, is one example. The Apostle Peter, when he denied the Lord, is one example. How many times did Peter deny the Lord on that night? Three times. When the Lord looked at him, what did he do? When Peter realized that the Lord knew what had happened, what did Peter do? Peter said, "I forgot that. It didn't happen that way. Is that what it is? Don't think so." What did he do? The Bible said he went out and he wept. He wept. He wept. How? He wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. That teaches us something. That you can sin, but you're not very happy with it. Whenever you sin, you have displeased God. And you're not happy with it. It doesn't make a difference what kind of sin it is. God doesn't like that. And after a while, you don't like it. Who was it? Who was it that preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls were saved? Yeah, that was the Apostle Peter. And Peter went on to preach. And he was a great man. Who was it that Christ called Satan? It was the Apostle Peter. I tell you what, after Peter fell because he trusted in himself, how many times did he fall after that? Just once? And Paul rebuked him. That was it. Okay? He was a good man. On the other hand, there was a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. Judas betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, right? So, well, what happened to that? Well, Judas took the money, and then he went and spent it. No. What did Judas do with that 30 pieces of silver? He went and throwed it back. He says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Was Judas very happy with himself? Not at all. Not at all. Actually, Judas was so unhappy with himself. And you compare this with the Apostle Peter. But Judas was so unhappy with himself that he went and hung himself, his bowels gushed out. Alright? You see the difference in the two? Because Peter trusted Christ and yet he knew he had sinned against Christ, he wept bitterly. He boo-hooed. He cried. It wasn't that Peter just felt bad, but he actually wept. He actually wept. He wept bitterly. It wasn't just a few tears. But Peter was just full of grief. And you know what? The Lord forgave him. The Lord did forgive him. Isn't that wonderful? Why didn't Judas do that? Because he wasn't saved? The evidence is that Judas is lost. Now, I don't know that, but the evidence points that. So you think about those two people. In Matthew 13, Matthew 24, and verse number 13. I think it is here. And I think this is a good spot to read this. Matthew 24 and verse number 13, the Bible says here, "But he that shall endure to the end," he that endures unto the end, "the same shall be saved." And you see their lives, the life of Peter, how that he sinned against God. But Peter was, well, Peter had a like us. I don't want to look down on him at all. But Peter had a problem with speaking. Not only was he a Galilean, but Peter often spoke what he thought until his thinking got straightened up. Right? And that's what happened. And so Judas, however, was not that way at all. Judas was not. Judas was so... He was such a great apostle and such a great person that when Christ said, "One of you will betray me this night," those two people all looked around. They said, "Is it I?" See? And that's the way it ought to be. There ought to be a self-examination at every time. But it was Peter that fell away. You see, the true saint of God will either be faithful to God and rejoice in God, or they will rebel against God and be chastened. That's it. That's the story. You take the man Lot, for example. You know, the only reason that I know that Lot was saved was the Bible says he was. If there was any indication at all that Lot was lost, I would believe he was lost. I'll tell you what. Lot was a person who was saved. He was chastened of God over and over and over again. That's where it was. So the true saint of God will always be faithful to God, or they'll be chastened of God. I mean, that's it. Here it is. You got a choice. I got a choice. I can either do what God says, and I'll be blessed. I can do what I want to do, and be chastened. That's it. You ever been chastened? It's not very pleasant. I won't tell you how many times. But God oftentimes does that. Because His people will be faithful to Him. They will be. Might be like Lot, but saved people will be faithful. So what we're talking about is once saved, always saved. That's true. But if a person is truly saved and they get into sin, they will be chastened. And God will do it. And God will let you know when something happens that you're being chastened. That'll be absolutely the truth. You will not get away with it. God will see to that. And you will know what's going on. I remember that time. I never forget this, I guess. That I wrecked that 53 Oldsmobile. I remember that. You know what I'm going to tell, don't you? Yeah. But I remember wrecking that car. Well, I knew the Lord is... chasing me for that. I shouldn't have loved that car so much. I went to church. I remember Mrs. Carroll. She's about that high and about that big around. Well, she was a little bitty woman. 90 pounds soaking wet. She said, "Lord, chasing you, ain't he? You have to tell me that. I knew it already." I know everybody else knew it. You know, but that's what happened. I remember after that, I bought an old 57 Chevy, had 140,000 miles on it, and boy, that's a lot of miles. I drove that car the first time I drove it, or drove 2,000 miles, put in 21 quarts of oil. I tell you what, that thing is pouring it through there just like a sieve. But the Lord showed me some things. The Lord showed me some things. That He loved me. That He cared for me. And I remember one time in church that there was a guy running into that car, running into that 57 Chevy. He damaged it. He came and told me. I said, "I'll be right out there." I got talking. I forgot about it. I completely forgot about it. And finally, he come back in there and he says, "We're out here waiting on you." I said, "Oh, I forgot." I said, "Don't make a difference anyway." He said, "I want you to come look at that." I said, "Okay." So I went and looked at it. I said, "Don't make a difference anyway. Don't make a difference anyway. Don't make a difference at all." Because I didn't love that car. The Lord took that away from me. Well, I need that took away from me. You see, God does that. He does that. So, that's just the way it is. You see, only real believers can continue. You know what that is, to be a real believer? That is when there's nothing else that you got hope in. You got nothing else. You got no purposes, whatever. So I got purposes. You better check them out and see if you ought to have. God may be telling you no purposes. Maybe that's why things are happening the way they are. Because there's preferences. You have them, I have them. But we've got to leave everything with the Lord. He can take care of things a lot better than I ever could. A person can continue only with the power of God upon them. We're talking about doing what God wants us to do. The only way we can ever really do that is when we have the power of God upon us. We're trusting God completely and totally. And I don't do that 100%. So don't think I'm up here telling you to do that because I'm doing it. I'm telling you what the Bible says, that you need to follow the Lord 100%. I tell you what, you can never lose out if you just do what God wants you to do, even though you don't understand exactly. Just trust God and do what God tells you to do, and God can take care of everything else. He will. He'll take care of it all. God can take care of it. I don't know how. I hardly know what I ought to do. But I need to do that. Whatever God lays upon my heart to do, I need to do it. And just be pleasing to the Lord. God knows our heart. God knows what we're thinking. God knows what you're thinking right now, right? Yeah, He does. He knows if your mind's wandered away or not. You have to beat that back? Well, continually. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. We're just people. That's all we are. You know what? We have the Lord. He's so good to us. He is so very good to us. He keeps us safe. He keeps us, gives us understanding, and just helps in so many ways. It's really good. Well, our time is gone from us. We didn't get quite done, but we'll take it up next time, Lord willing. But when you just think about all the good things that God has done for us, especially in the preservation of His saints toward us, I'm so glad that we serve an eternal God. I'm so glad that one of these days we're going to see Christ face to face. I'm glad for that. Listen, one of these days, after you die, will you be with the Lord or will you be in hell? Where are you going to be? Every person is going to die. Every person is going to come to the end of their life. And you now have opportunity to trust Christ. You have people praying for you right now. And it's a good time. It's to trust Christ. You believe in Him. And salvation is a sure gift that God can give to you. He'll get it. There's no catches with God. He can get it. How much does it cost? It's free. It's free. God wants willing servants. Not those that are obligated to do something. God wants you to be willing. That's all He wants. Okay?